Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, music connoisseurs. Are you frustrated and aggravated from listening to conventional radio? Sick and tired hearing the same lame 20 songs over and over again? You need to be listening to blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline. Lush Radio Online. Hosted by Lushy Lush. Lushy Lush has her ear to the street and plays all the new and independent artists out there. To listen to Lushy Lush, log on to blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline. And don't forget to call into the station, 347-826-7722. Independent artists and record labels can submit music to Lush Radio Online MP3s@gmail.com. Lush Radio Online, you just officially got stamped.
Yeah, it's your girl Lushy Lush live in the building, shutting it down like I always do, giving you nothing but the hot exclusive interviews. Always supporting independent entrepreneurs, business owners, artists doing their thing, and doing positive things in the community. Today, man, your girl Lushy Lush is giving you Mr. Joshua Rich, a remarkable brother who has changed many young people's lives, you know, through teaching and just being a mentor. And he'll be live in the building. We about to go into the lines, man. Shout out to Gangface. Shout out to Street Queens, the movement. Shout out to, you know, the clothing drive for DJ Carl Blaze in New York, which went well. You know, shout out to Camp Low, you know, with they hot video, you know what I'm saying, with Styles P, and you know what I'm saying, and P Rock on Smash. You know, shout out to all my NYC people. We definitely getting it in. About to go to the phone lines. Yeah. What up? 443, you're live in the building, 443.
Hey, what's happening, Lush? This is Joshua.
What's up? Let me give you a Lush Radio welcome, man. So what's up, Josh? How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Happy to be on with you.
That's what's up, man. Before we get down to the nitty-gritty, man, you can go ahead and give a shout-out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just want to thank you for having me on, and, you know, shout-out to everybody listening. Again, just glad to be here.
That's what it is, man. So you calling from the 443. Are you originally from Baltimore?
I am.
That's what's up. Born and raised?
Born and raised in Baltimore, East Baltimore.
Wow. Was that rough coming up in that area?
Was it rough? I mean, you know, every place has its obstacles and, you know, different things that you got to deal with, but, you know, just make the most out of it.
That's what it is. So, Joshua, man, you're a very remarkable young brother doing your thing, you know, out here in the community, you know, with teaching and just being a mentor, you know, through the positive things that you do. What actually made you become an activist, you know, for the youth, you know? What got you into doing something like that?
Well, you always hear about giving back, and fortunately for me, when I was in high school, I had a mentor take me under his wing, and, you know, didn't always understand, you know, the different messages that he was giving to me, but he always said that, you know, when I got older, experience some success, make sure that I give back. And that's something that's always stuck with me, and, you know, right now I'm just fortunate to have the opportunity to be able to do that. And so my whole thing is, you know, just like somebody helped me, you got to help other people. Can't do it by yourself. Can't be successful by yourself.
So what made you, you know, start the whole, because apparently you have a organization that you're a CEO that you created when you were attending Eastern Shore, apparently.
Right. I started the Roots Mentoring Program, which stands for Recognizing Our Opportunities Together Successfully, my senior year at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. And really, it was just a big need in the community surrounding the university for some help, particularly from black men reaching back and helping out the youth in that area. And they needed some mentors, and just really, you know, heard the outcry for that and met with some of the people in the school system. And at that point, I didn't know a whole bunch about mentoring, but just knew that something needed to be done, and just started to speaking to different people in the community and we were able to come together, start the mentoring program, and was able to have some success with it. And, you know, after having that experience, I just knew that that was something that I wanted to continue to do. And so that's what I'm doing now. That's what I'm doing now. Still working with that.
That's what's up. That's what's up, man. And we definitely support what you're doing, because, you know, a lot of our youth nowadays is lost, man, and it's hard to find good black men to just be, you know, mentors for these youth, especially with them, you know, with the pants sagging, with them just disrespecting the, you know, the elders. I mean, it's just a lot, man. And, you know, were you raised in a situation where the mother and father were there, or you know, or you had the father wasn't there, but the mom was there, you know, situation?
Right. Now I was fortunate to have both my parents in my household. Had both my parents in my household. So, I mean, even with that situation there, I mean, there's always different challenges that you have to deal with, one way or the other. But, I mean, that was a good example for me. And so, I mean, I know what it is that's possible. And at the same time, you know, I just share those lessons that I learned with the other, you know, youth. And me and my own boys, we were, you know, just fortunate to have some male role models in our lives so that we can pattern ourselves after.
Okay. So what was included in the Roots program? What were some of the activities and some of the things that were provided in the Roots program?
Well, with the Roots program, what we did is a combination of mentoring, number one, and the type of mentoring that we did is called group mentoring. Group mentoring is a little different from the traditional one-on-one mentoring that you may see with, like, a Big Brother, Big Sister program, because that is really allowing students to have, like, tutors as well as mentors at the same time. So, for example, at the schools that we worked with, the group of mentors, and we have, we had about 30 mentors in this particular program that she's talking about on the Eastern Shore. They would go to the schools one day a week, and then at the school, we would meet in, like, a multi-purpose room, and we mentored, like, 30 students. And so each of the students would come into the multi-purpose room, and then they would have a table that they could sit down at that would specialize in that day in tutoring for either social studies, science, math, or English. And then you had different mentors that were sitting there at the tables. And so at that point, we were able to, you know, tutor them on the subject they needed help with, but there was also a confidential setting for people to maybe talk about some of the, you know, challenges that they were dealing with, you know, that day, or just were dealing with, period, and, you know, get a chance to speak with some people that may have already, you know, gone through that, or can, you know, just be an ear, because one of the things that we learned is that you're not going to know everything, and it's okay to tell somebody that, it's okay to tell everybody that, I mean, it's okay to tell someone that you don't have all the answers, and that you will, you know, get back to them with it, you know, after you, you know, if you can figure out what the answer is. Or talk to somebody else who does. So the main thing is just communication. That was, like, one of the biggest things that we learned.
Do you think it was easier for the young men to open up to you guys as males, or what, was it hard?
You know, I think that at the beginning of the day, people just want to know that you're being real, you're being sincere. I think we all want to be, first and foremost, just understood. Everybody's searching for some type of understanding. And when they look at you, you look at somebody in the eye and they can, you know, say that, oh, yeah, this person is really being real, they're being sincere, then I think that allows at least for the chance for more open communication. I don't care who you are. You're not just going to just start telling somebody about your whole life story and you just met that person. So it's about being consistent and showing up for the mentoring. And I think when people see consistency, then they're more likely to want to, you know, talk about maybe some of the challenges that they may be dealing with.
Mm-hmm. So the main thing is consistency with these young gentlemen.
I think so, because, I mean, let's just look at what we're dealing with as a society right now. I mean, we're all To some degree, we've seen people come in and out of our lives, particularly with these young men, seeing a lot of people come in and out of their lives, you know, unfortunately may have wanted to be there in their lives, but for whatever reason, they may say, well, yes, I'm going to be here, I'll be a mentor to you, or, you know, somebody that you could look up to, but for whatever reason, they weren't able to stay there. And so anytime you see that type of just change consistently happening, then I think that makes anybody just a little untrustworthy, or, I mean, just a little less trusting. That's what I'm looking for there, a little less trusting.
So do you feel like a lot, most of these youth, these young men usually come from, like, they're coming, like, deprived to their environments, and they basically, like, they just feel lost, and they feel like they really don't have anybody to talk to, and you know, and do you feel like they're subjected to just being passed through the system in regards to the educational system?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That is something that we're dealing with, and I think it's more so people don't have, particularly in the education system right now, well, a few things. Number one, they don't have the understanding of what some of these issues are that the youth are dealing with. So they don't have the understanding. And then number two, because they don't have that understanding, they're just trying to push the problem off on somebody else and wait for somebody else to step up and bring a solution, as opposed to them seeing what it is that they can really do. And, you know, I do want to make mention that it's not that teachers don't have a desire to help, but sometimes they're really lacking the resources to be able to help these youth the way that they would want to. So we need more resources.
In regards to resources, elaborate. What kind of resources would better help the teachers, you know, with these students?
The type of resources that will help them, like, for example, when we do training or we're setting up people that would like to be a mentor, they need to first go through a training. They go through an interview process of, you know, what it's going to take to be a mentor, what's expected of them. And so we interview them for that. And then as we're going through and we're doing mentoring, we have a continuation of trainings that we put the mentors through, because they may be listening to some issues that the youth are bringing up that they may not, again, have the answers to. And then they can speak with other mentors, and we come together as a group, and then we talk about, well, how can we help them? How can we better serve those youth? And right now, I don't think that teachers have really a forum in which they can express themselves for the issues that they may be dealing with. So a lot of teachers are feeling overwhelmed, and they could get help if they could speak to each other about the issues that they're seeing. So I think we need better support, a better support system for the teachers.
Okay, so at the same point, due to the fact that where do you teach? You teaching at high school, elementary school, middle school?
I teach high school, 10th grade government.
10th grade government. That's what's up. The thing that I'm saying, because you're dealing with young men, you're dealing with youth in the 10th grade, high school, and you're a positive black brother doing your thing. Do you think it's hard? Do you feel like it goes back to the parents in regards to some of the attitudes of some of these young men, you know, when you deal with them? How do you feel about it?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. It goes back to the parents, but it's also a community thing as well. It's a community thing. So in some of these situations, the young guys, I mean, they're not getting the attention that they want. I mean, we all need some form of attention. We want to feel connected. And so if they're not getting that attention at a younger age, I think they will tend to act out so that they can get that attention, whether it's negative attention from the teacher or positive attention from the teacher. I think they just feel that at least they're getting some attention.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Shout out to Kingpin and Gio live in the chat room. Josh, you know, you being a teacher, right?
Right.
Now, I've seen, you know, I deal in the schools too, right? And I've seen a lot of these youth getting passed through, you know, a lot of these youth getting passed through the system, you know, that can't read. And they basically, you know, and they act out because they're angry, and then they put them into special ed programs and say that, you know, hey, they can't read. Is that the fault of the parents, or is that the fault of the educational system, as you being a teacher?
Yeah, I think that with that, it is, I think there's a combination of accountability that can be spread there. Definitely with, I mean, you can look at the parents, but the parents don't necessarily know totally what it is that's going on, because we're talking about a cycle that's happened in the education system. So this isn't something that just started yesterday. This is something that has been going on for quite some time. And when you talk about some of the students being placed in special education, some of them are being misclassified in terms of, are they able to learn at a normal level as opposed to being a special needs student. So that is something that the education system is going to have to look at as to how they can better serve those students instead of just passing them along. And then now, of course, you have the No Child Left Behind Act, which hopefully can start to be cleaned up now that we have a new administration in that are looking to do some real big things in terms of funding the educational system so that we can get these students the type of support that they need, because there's no reason someone should be in high school and not be able to read.
So I have Gio on here saying that basically, you know, with the special ed system, it's more like a needle in a haystack. They get lost in the... Do you feel
right.
That's true?
Yeah, I mean, students could definitely get, you know, lost as far as being in special ed, because with that program, it's not necessarily the same expectations that's going to be on those special ed students as opposed to the students that are going to be in the normal programs. And, I mean, students only have to be in school up to a certain age, and then after that, in school for a certain age, if they're still not performing at a certain level, the school does not have to keep them enrolled in the school. They don't have to keep them there.
Mm-hmm.
Those students can be withdrawn from the schools if they're not performing at a certain level. So, again, this is something that allows those students to be just passing through the cracks and not really getting the education that they need, because right now at this point, I mean, we all need education beyond high school and really going to the college level. And if we're going to be able to compete for the jobs that are going to be coming over the next few years.
And that's the real thing. My other question was, because, you know, I was talking to somebody about that. I was kind of disappointed in the educational system due to the fact that, you know, just America itself, we sit here and we tell our kids, okay, go through this educational system. After you leave here, you get a job, you know what I'm saying, you get your degree, blah, 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 and get a job. But if you're not prepared and they keep passing you, how are you expected to get all of that?
Well, the thing is, I mean, yes, how could they expect you to get all of that? So that's something that needs to be addressed, and that has to be addressed like right now. I mean, I heard President Obama talking about the fact that everybody needs to at least be able to get a college education, dealing with this new type of global system that we're in terms of a global economy. I mean, the thing is, students that are in our classrooms in the U.S. today are not just competing with one another for the jobs that are going to be available to them 5 years from now. They're competing with students that are over in China, Brazil, India. All of these students are going to be competing for the same jobs. And the sad fact is right now, our American students, our young people, are not ready to compete on that level. They're just not ready yet. So I'm not saying that to be negative, but that's why I see the need for mentoring to be that much more significant and helping to bridge that gap. So if those students have been passed through the cracks for a few years now, in order to help to shut down that crack, we need to get them involved in mentoring, get them involved in tutoring, because it's not they can't learn, but they just need some additional support so that they can learn the things that they need to learn. That's what I think the solution, or a part of the solution, will be.
So Joshua, are you right now getting some more government funding in regards to, you know, your organization, or if somebody wanted to help in regards to how could they go about doing that?
Well, right now we are looking to partner with some other organizations that are, I mean, because you know right now funds are really tight across the board. So we're looking to partner with other organizations who may already be doing some of this work. We're looking at working with the school system directly. And, I mean, that's really what our plan is right now, so that we can keep the work going, happening.
That's what it is. And, you know, shout out to the Street Queens, the movement. You know, the coat job for DJ Carl Blaze went well. We passed out several coats. The helping was unanimous, you know, just to, you know, help out with passing the coats to the homeless. Yo, I mean, this is a serious issue, you know. Our young men out here are lost, and we need more men like Josh, you know, to go out and help, volunteer, you know, at an organization to help with the children reading, and help, you know, just talking, being a big brother, showing them that if you've been, you know, in jail or been through it, just tell them the wrongs and the rights. And you know what? You know, they say this is a hip-hop generation, Josh. Do you feel that a lot of the music, I mean, even though, you know, I deal with hip-hop, do you feel like that's a reflection of the life that the children think they need to live in order for them to succeed in today's America?
I mean, I think that the children, the youth, I mean, they get mixed messages. They're not quite sure which way to go at this point. And, I mean, they're just searching. They're searching. I mean, as far as the music, I mean, to a degree that plays a part. But, I mean, if the community is in place the way that it needs to be, if the adults in the communities, if the school system is doing what it is that they need to do, and we're reinforcing positive messages, then I think that we can help to change that mentality that the students may have or the young people may have at this point. I just don't think that there's enough people right now that are actively involved. We're doing a lot of talking about what needs to be done, but we need to get more troops on the ground, you know, doing hands work. And when we do that, then I think we'll start to see some more change. So, yes, we're a hip-hop generation, but hip-hop has a lot of great things as well. So I wouldn't put that as a negative thing on hip-hop.
How old are you, Joshua?
26.
26, man. You definitely doing your thing, man. You know, and people, I've seen Joshua in his class, and the children respect him. I guess, do you think the fact that you're 26, like, you feel like because you're not that far away, but yet you're still older than them, but you can still relate, is that the reason why they respond to you a little more better?
I think it's more so, I think the students, again, are looking to see somebody that just really cares about their well-being. I think that the students want structure, and you got to be willing to be stern with what the expectations are. And mm-hmm. when you do that, and I think that people will respect that. Some people will try to push the envelope a little bit, but when they see that you are serious, that you are believing in the fact that they can be successful, then I think they'll be, you know, they'll be all right with that. Some of the older teachers, I believe, for whatever reason, just feel that they're out of touch and that they can't connect with those students. But it's not so much that they cannot connect. I think they just have to believe in what it is that they're doing. If you're giving a positive message, if you're showing that you really care, if you're talking to them about their future, I mean, anybody, you know, if they're getting that type of guidance, but at least be open into hearing what it is that you're saying. But are you going to be consistent in what it is that you're saying? That's when that consistency comes back into it.
That's true. Let's go to the line, Josh. You got a call on the line.
Okay.
216, is this my big brother, King?
Yeah, this King, Pen AS Heat Magazine.
What's up? What's up, King AS right there? That's my big brother right there. How you doing, big bro?
I'm all right. I wasn't listening. I was on the chat, though. Gio was going kind of hard.
Yeah,
so I called in to see what y'all was talking about.
Yeah, we have a wonderful brother by the name of Joshua Rich that's a teacher and an activist and has changed many young people's lives through his mentoring. He has a mentoring program for the young men originally from Baltimore, Maryland. He's a teacher now at a high school. He teaches 10th graders. You got any questions for him, King?
Well, as a teacher, you work at like a predominantly black school?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What grade is it? The high school?
Yeah, it's high school, 9th through 12th.
What's the environment as far as the students? Because they said a lot about, black schools and black students and the dropout rate and everything they got to go through. What do you see?
I mean, what I really see at this point is just a group of young people that are just looking for some direction, man. I mean, we continue to hear that, this is the lost generation. I mean, I think that a lot of the stuff that the young people are dealing with right now, when we really look at it, it's age appropriate. Because you're looking for direction when you're in high school. You're looking to see what's your career going to be, what's going to be your place in the world. And a lot of those same issues these young people dealing with, it may just look a little different from what the older teachers are used to seeing at this point. But it doesn't change what those young people are really about.
But what about the actions? The actions that they demonstrate, not just in the school, but outside of the school as well, that, put them in prison, put them in situations where, even dropping out. A lot of people drop out because they went to prison, or they
right.
got, went to juvenile, or they got into the streets. But
right.
I know, I don't. What I do with the magazine and everything that we do, I really don't have the access to children the way a teacher do. I deal with a lot of young kids that I come across, but it seems like teachers just have the power where they dealing with a lot of people. Like you said, people misguided. They looking for something, but what about the teachers, or do you feel like, the teachers doing all they can do?
No, I think, man, that the teachers can do more, but one of the points that I was bringing up before is that I believe that the teachers need more of a support system so that they can actually talk about maybe some of the issues that they're dealing with. I think some of the teachers are feeling just overwhelmed at this point because I think their heart is in the right place in terms of wanting to see the students be successful, wanting to see our young people be successful, but they don't have a way to really talk about what they may be experiencing in the classroom. So I think that the teachers need some additional training for how to really just work with the students right now.
That's interesting. I know Lush, she be teaching as well. And I know a lot of the things that she's doing. I don't know. It's kind of hard for me because I understand that I deal with some young people that I just don't deal with them no more.
Okay.
I feel like for me it's all about with the support thing, like you talking about from the parents or from the administration?
I really think that it's a collective effort, man. It can't just be, just the administration. You are going to need some support from the parents, but then you also need brothers like yourself that are, helping out with the youth. And the thing is, unfortunately, and I guess we don't really hear this said enough, really you're not going to be able to, reach everybody. I mean, that's the bottom line. You're not going to be able to reach everybody, but you got to work with the students that are willing to, try to make those adjustments so that they can be successful or give themselves a better chance.
How many teachers work at the school you at?
Oh, man, probably about 150.
Now, as a, this is my thing. It's 150 teachers, right? Like,
right.
Say you have a, you know, you have a passion for helping the children. Lush have a passion for helping people. Lush gonna reach certain students that you're not gonna be able to reach. You're gonna reach
right.
certain students that she's not gonna be able to reach. I don't understand how 100 some people who care about the people that they, you know, trying to teach. I just don't understand how they can't get 100 and some people, like, the students can't relate to one of y'all where, you know, where people actually care it. Because it's more than about teaching now.
Right. Right.
Because now it's like, if you're looking for the parents, it's like in a lot of communities, you're not going to get the support of parents because really they're not even, you know, they probably in a situation, if it's drugs or locked up, where really you don't have a parent. You have a mother, you have a father, somebody who brought you into this world, but you don't really have anyone who know how to, you know, manage their own life, let alone help you manage yours or give you the tools that you're going to need to manage yours. So when I look at
right.
a teacher, I look at somebody who, you know, no matter what you've been through, we didn't all made mistakes, do right, do wrong. We didn't all did that. But y'all went
right.
to college, you know, y'all said, well, I want to help people. I want to help these students. And I just don't see how 100 and some people working together, adults, can't get to the kids. That's...
And you know what? You're right. You're right. But, the thing is, with having 100 teachers there, I mean, we have 3,000 students at the school that
mm-hmm.
we're at.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you got to do the best with what it is that you have, man. And I think that we just got to keep on working on, developing programs that are going to allow the teachers to be able to do more. I mean, students, when they go to school, they're spending the majority of their time at school. So you're
exactly.
right. Teachers have such an important role in the development of the young people because it's pretty much the most time with those students out of anybody in their lives during the school year.
Mm. And hold on, I got one more caller. King, stay on the line, Ivo.
I'm in.
Caller from 615 GO. You're live in the building with Mr. Joshua Rich and Kingpin AS and your girl Lushy Lush. What a do, fam?
Man, just, you know, sitting here listening and, you know, I've been on every aspect, every end of everything that Josh is talking about. You know, I was a child that was put in the state system, you know, because my mother was a junkie. And then I grew up, I was in, you know, an abusive relationship. I have 5 children of my own. One of my children, you know, he's always had special education issues. And so when I started working to try to get him some help when he first started school, it was like nobody would help me, even the school system. You know, they wouldn't test him. I went through all kinds of stuff. And I finally said, you know what, this is enough. I've got to go educate myself. So I went to college to be a special education teacher just for the simple purpose of finding out the laws to be able to help my own child, you know. And it came to the point where now I homeschool my child because in the 6th grade, even with the No Child Left Behind Act, they passed him to get rid of him because of his behaviors and because they couldn't deal with him, you know. And these are the people who were supposed to be trained to deal with him. You know,
right.
And so I've been on every aspect of that. I've been institutionalized. I've been locked up, you know, over part of my lifetime. You know, and I'm a spoken word artist, and we have been for about 12 years now. I've been in the spoken word industry, and we work and we work and we work to try to go to these schools, to try to go to these colleges, to try to let these kids know that no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, there is a better way. You don't have to live like this. I'm living proof of it. Let me reach out to you. But I'm with King and I'm with Josh both on the aspect of this. Most children who are in high school right now, their parents aren't much older than Josh. Because of the generation that came, you know, my generation, because of my generation, I'm 35 years old and I have a 15-year-old. I got married at the age of 17. You know, we were trying to do something, and it's not the first time that it's been done, you know, but it is the parents are getting younger and younger, and not only are they getting younger and younger age-wise, they're getting younger and younger mentality-wise, and they refuse to educate themselves. you know, and Josh has a good point that there's 150 teachers and there's 3,000 students. You cannot be a parent of, if you even divide those children up, you cannot be a parent of 500 children.
Mm.
Some point in time, you're going to have somebody else on the outside to help you because you are with those children for 7 hours a day and you see 300-400 of them, different ones a day when they're changing classes and things like that. So, you know, I can't say the blame is on any one person. The problem is the money, the funding, the fact that we can't get more programs started, the fact that we can't get people involved in these programs. If we could get people involved in these programs and have more people to help, more people to come in and talk to the kids, more big brothers and sisters that don't want to get paid for it, more people that would take time with these kids, then this wouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. You're right about that, sister. For
yep.
real. You're definitely right about that. The thing that hurts me is that now me and Josh, we're at school, and I know, Josh, you go to parent-teacher meetings, and you got the children, and you're like, man, you know, you got so much potential, but why are you acting like that? Then you come to see the parent, and the parent is sitting there, and they're pacifying what their child is. They're more worried about, oh, you got my child's iPod, then, wow, my child is failing in class. Speak on it, Josh. Speak on it.
Right, right. And, I mean, that just goes back to the priorities that we have as a society right now. First of all, I just want to, you know, take a moment and just commend the sister on the wonderful work that she's doing with her son and going back and, you know, working on being a special education teacher. I mean, because that's the type of effort that we need. Everybody has a story. None of us are perfect. But we also know that in order for us to see a better outcome for our education system right now, for our society, we all got to do our part. So I just wanted to take a moment and just commend her on the wonderful work that she's doing with her family. But as far as, I mean, the example that you just gave, Lush, about the parent-teacher conferences and just hearing the priorities of the parents, I mean, this is just the mentality with too many people that we're seeing right now that we need to be addressed. And quite honestly, I don't know what the exact answer is to how you deal with that. I don't know the answer, you know, for that. I just know that this is something that we're dealing with, and the only thing I can really do as a teacher is just continue to encourage that student about the potential that they have and really taking their work serious. But they need to have that message just reinforced to them by not just the teacher, but the people that's around them.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's true. And Joshua, I just, like, once again, I got to commend the sister, and I got to commend you, Josh, because you're definitely doing your thing, man, and it's an everyday struggle with these children, an everyday struggle. But you just try to keep the faith and just pray that, you know, maybe you could change one or two children's lives, you know, just, yeah, you know?
Right, right.
You know? So, I mean, you know, I mean, I know it was kind of, I mean, you coming up from Baltimore, man. How was it, man? Because Baltimore ain't no joke over there, player.
Well, I know for me, my personal story is that I wasn't supposed to, wasn't expected to graduate from high school from the standpoint that, you know, I was told I had a serious case of ADD, like so many of our young people. Given that diagnosis, and I mean, the thing was, you know, my parents didn't want me to just really use that as a crutch. So we just had to keep on working at it. And again, much to the point that the sister was making a few minutes ago, you know, my mom just had to continue to, you know, educate herself about what, you know, ADD was, and she just had to continue to work on it. And you know, fortunately, due to you know, my mom keep on, you know, just, you know, feed me positive information, letting me know that, you know, I wasn't any different from other students. I was able to graduate from high school. I was able to go to college and graduate. But, you know, too many people are being diagnosed like that, and they don't have that type of support system. So we need to make sure that, I guess it goes to a larger issue of the learning style of our children.
Mm-hmm.
Because our children don't necessarily learn the same way as other children learn. They need more, I think, an active education. And if the students are not being engaged, then you will see behavior issues. And because you see behavior issues does not mean that they have some type of learning disability. That just means that there needs to be a better curriculum that's going to reach those students. And so that was something that, you know, I had with coming up in the Baltimore school system.
Well, you know, can I say something real quick about what he just said, please? A lot of the children that have been diagnosed with ADD and ADHD, what people do not realize is these children are children with high IQs.
Right.
They are not right. dumb children. And the reason that they're diagnosed as ADD, ADHD, is because, like you said, it's a learning style. With a child
right.
who has a high IQ, they get bored with normal things. You have to challenge them, even if you don't think
yep.
they can do it. You have to give them something a level or two levels above what you've got everyone else doing so they don't get bored.
Right.
And instead of looking at that high IQ, they're looking at that behavior problem when they're not even realizing that that behavior problem is most likely because they're bored.
Exactly. Exactly. So we have to raise the expectations of our students. Stop, you know, in a sense, dummying down the lessons because you don't think that they can do it. People will live up to the expectations that you place on them.
Yes. Yes. And I was going to you know, piggyback off of what both of you guys say, which were two key points. I had a student who had ADHD and ADD. And honestly, for real, I think a lot of us have ADD. A lot of us are hyper. A lot of us, we just have a way of dealing with it. You know what I'm saying?
I think I got it.
You know what I'm saying? And we have our own way of dealing with it, but they just, you know, want to put a label behind it, and they get misclassified. And therefore, they subject these children, and I feel like they're suffering from it. You
right.
know, because and what she said was true. I had a child, they say, had ADHD, right? But this child went to physics classes, and they're putting her in a lower-level science class. When she's supposed to be doing physics, but they'll say, okay, well, the psychologist said they can't do this because this, that. But look, why don't you test these children out to see what level they can be on? If you, and another thing, right, if you put a child that their IQ is actually high and you sit them in a class with kids that they assume that are totally mentally retarded, and they start to mimic the actions of those children too.
Right.
I remember I got a son, and he was, you know, I do a lot of stuff. That's why I say I might got it, because I do a lot of stuff. But, and I can't do, I just can't, you know, if I'm, I can be designing something and writing something the next minute because a thought come in my mind. It's
mm-hmm.
just, it's hard for me just to stick to one thing. But everything I do just, I know I'm older, so I know how to focus everything. So I can write, then design. It don't make no difference. All the same thing. But I know with my son, I was noticing, you know, because I'm an author, like, he couldn't read to me, you know, so I went to the school, you know, he in kindergarten, so, you know, but he couldn't read to me. And, well, I think people should be able to read, you know, should be able to read a book. So I go to the school and everything, parent-teacher conference, but the people were telling me that he could read, you know, so they got the sheet and they come out with the words and everything. And, you know, telling him to read these words. But I'm like, he can't read a book. You know, you teach him words, but, like, I got nieces that read books, you know, to read, you know, children books and stuff like that. You know, that's how you learn how to read. But so I was like, well, you know, they was convincing me. I knew it must have been ADHD or something. You know, it had to be something because it wasn't regular. He come from my blood. You know, he supposed to be able to read. So, so I just took more of an active role in him reading. It was like, you got to read every day. Like, a punishment is reading, a gift is reading. Like, anything that you do is reading. I can reward you. If you do something bad, you reading. It don't matter. You're going to read regardless. You know, and now he read books. You know, he can read a book. Because I think with him, like you said, it's hard for him to focus on one thing. But if he's reading a book, it's word after word after word, different words. So it's easier for him to read a book and know the word than just to, you know, what's this word? What's this word? You know what I mean? Things like that. But I'm not a teacher, me personally. I'm an entrepreneur, and everything that we do is built on economic, social, and political structure. But it's for a reason. And the reason, like, I ask you those questions because I think a lot of people who understand these things, it's the money. The money is the reason why, you know, education is poor. Because teachers not able to, you know, freestyle on certain things. Like, it should be a certain structure, but a teacher should have his classroom the way they want to have it. Why ain't no BTR show in the classrooms? I don't really, I review BTR shows, but I ain't really never heard no constructive show with some young people on it. You know, there was a regular show. Why not? You know, why don't we show them things that, you know, how you going, what's going to be your future? What you do after you get out of school? Because a lot of people are interested in that. I think a lot of people are selling drugs and stuff like that because they're interested in what they're going to do after school. But, you know, school should be about teaching people how to, you know, after school, what you're going to do. So if you're trying to be an author in the ninth grade, like after school, you're going to do things and be around people, you know, that's trying to do something. But we don't really be having things like that because, like you said, you know, people don't really got a lot of money. You know, teachers don't really got the, you know, if the book's not supplied, you know, you really don't have the money to supply the whole class with the books that you think will help them and things like that. And that's why I think entrepreneurship is very important. It should be teachers and entrepreneurs together. You know, like if my friend is a teacher or own a nonprofit organization, my tithes and offering, my 10% should be going into my community to help them because I have children as well. Mm. But, you know, it has to be freestyle sometime, though. It can't be a certain way because, like you said, everyone not the same. Everyone don't come from the same situation. I got parents. Some people don't have parents, though. I done made mistakes. Some people with no parents and made that I didn't bounce back from because I do have parents, and they never bounced back from because there wasn't nobody else to help them, you know?
And you know the crazy thing about it, like I have a group of a whole bunch of boys, right? And for some reason they listen to me, right? And I can relate to them through music, and you know, I give them my real life stories of what I've been through, you know, being homeless and then, you know, bouncing back and just, you know, being determined and doing what I had to do in order to be where I'm at right now, you know. And, you know, you got to be, just like Josh said, you got to be realistic with these kids, man. They don't want nobody to be lying and faking with them and saying, hey, they did this and the third. They want people to be real. A lot of these children are a product of their environment. A lot of these children are coming from the ghetto. A lot of them are coming from broken families. A lot of them are coming from a place where their mothers are natural nurturers and they're pacifying by buying them clothes and stuff because their father's not there. You know what I mean? And they're looking for that father figure. They're looking for that big brother. That's why a lot of them kids get into gangs because they're looking for that family. You know what I'm saying? They're looking for that connection like a family. And a lot of them, you know, cling to me, but I'm there. They can come to me and say, hey, you know, I want to let you know about this or whatever. Because they feel like they can't open up to some of the teachers in there, you know. And I don't always blame the kids. Sometimes it's some teachers, sometimes they antagonize these children. A lot of them are going through situations like they might be getting abused at the house, okay? They might be getting abused. Kids might be homeless, and the only meal they're getting at that school. You understand what I'm saying?
You know what's funny about teachers, though? A lot of people don't look at, like, teachers human. Because I'm a father. I have 7 children. Like, they be getting on my nerves sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes I, you know, I'm just trying to get away. But they my children. I take care of them. But, like, if you a teacher, like, it's going to be kids that's just like your kids, like, you know, or worse than your kids. I don't like no bad kids. If I go over somebody's house, their kids too bad, I'm going to leave. You know what I mean? I ain't going to deal with nobody else's kids like that when, you know, when I might as well go home for that. You know, and I think sometimes teachers go through that too. Like, you know, people really want to help, but at the same time, like you said, they human. They got a life too. You know, they boyfriend or they husband. You know, we all go through issues, and sometimes them issues play a part of, you know, how we feel and the way we interact with people.
That's true, but I'm going to tell you, my son, my son was passed through the sixth grade, not being able to do sixth grade work just because they wanted to get rid of him. And the teacher that he had came from an all-white school. And she came to downtown Kansas City, Missouri, to teach in a predominantly black, 99.9% black school that had ages, that had children K through 8 at the time. And, you know, she didn't want to be there. But that was the only job that she could take because she had been, for whatever reason, sent away from the white school. And she antagonized my child. She did things to my child. She said things to my child. She didn't know his situation. She didn't know anything about him. She didn't know that my son, that the hood that we were living in, that two people had been killed in front of my son in the 6 months prior to that. She didn't know any of that. But instead of her trying to find out what was going on with my son, because she was mad because she had to come and teach in this black school, she treated my son like he was, she told him, you are a juvenile delinquent. You will wind up in juvenile one day. And I went down to the school, and I just broke it down to her like this. If you don't want to teach in this school, then you need to quit your job. I didn't make you be a teacher. I didn't make you come to the black school. If you don't like the black kids, then you need to go back to the white school, if you can. If you can't, then you need to go ahead and quit your job and find you something else to do, because you're not going to treat my son like that. And so she passed my son in order to get rid of him.
Well, he was probably gonna be passed. You know, the child left behind. I just found that. I never knew what that was until with my son. But the child left behind law is basically like they not gonna flunk nobody without your permission.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Like ain't no, if you getting bad grades, they'll still pass you unless the parent approve. You know. For you to get left behind, and
I—that's
crazy to me. I ain't never knew what that was.
Well, see, I found out about what it was in the first grade when they were going to pass that same son, and he didn't even know what his letter sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's whenever I went back to school to be a special education teacher, because I knew that there had to be something that could be done for him. I kept telling them to test him, please test him, please test him. They wouldn't do it. And they said, well, we're going to put him in the second grade. And I went to the principal and said, no, you're not going to put him in the second grade. He's going to stay in the first grade. You're going to test him, and we're going to find out why he don't know what these letters look like today.
Right. I went through the same exact thing. I'm telling you.
They were going to pass him, and the principal put on the back of his report card in big red letters, held back by parents' request, like he was trying to punish me and make my child, you know, feel bad towards me because I had kept him in the first grade.
So Joshua, do you feel like some teachers, not all of them, but do you feel that the fact that they get frustrated, that they'll just pass the child just to get rid of them?
You know what? I mean, is that possible? I think that is possible, that could happen. But I would just say, I'll go back to the point I was making before. I believe that the teachers need more of a support system, and that comes from the leadership of the school system. Those people have got to be in tune with what it is that's going on in those classrooms. And if they're not in tune with what it is that's going on in those classrooms, the education policies that they put together may not really be doing a service to the teachers or, for that matter, most importantly, the students. So until you start to address the issues that people are dealing with on the day-to-day in the classroom, then I think you'll continue to hear, unfortunately, about situations like these two examples that we're hearing about right now, where a child is being passed just to, you know, pass the buck to somebody else. At some point, accountability has to be taken. Somebody has to say that, look, I'm going to make sure that this child is getting what they're supposed to get.
And that's the truth. No, I mean, and you couldn't say it. The thing about it is, the situation is, I also believe, just like Joshua said, some of these teachers, even though they've gotten their degrees, okay, it's also a social thing also, and a psychological thing. I know they take some teachers, I know their requirements is to take, you know, study psychology. But at the same time, they need to have counseling classes for the teachers and have group sessions and training on how to deal with certain situations in regards to these children. This is a whole new generation a whole different time than when they were coming up, especially the ones that are in their 40s and 50s and up, okay? So, and able to deal with these new situations, they need to have training classes and support systems. Teachers won't break down because they just don't know what to do. And then a lot of them think that the solution is, well, we're going to send them to send them home, you know, where they go run the streets and do that, and maybe mom and dad's not there. That's not the solution. They need training. These teachers need training. It doesn't matter if they got a PhD, master's degree. They need training on common sense situations like that. Just because a child guy has ADHD does not mean that the child is not able to function, not to be able to function and does not know how to read, or the child doesn't know how to do this or that. If they would take the time out to ask the child, analyze the child, see what the needs in order to cater to the child so they can best pass the class, instead of just saying, hey, we give up on this child, man, you better go ahead and just push this child on so we won't have to deal with them anymore and waste time.
I just wanted to say, you know, I wanted to say this because it wouldn't be fair if I didn't. What we do at Heat Nation, like, this started out, you know, dealing with business. And then from there, I started doing social things. And people asked me why I started doing social things, because a lot of people I knew had nonprofit organizations, and they really wasn't, you know, they weren't able to support that, you know, financially. So I just figured that since I was supporting a nonprofit organization, I think all entrepreneurs support a nonprofit organization. And then people ask me about the politics side of it. But, you know, the politics side of it really came not with the Obama thing, but see, education is political. Like, you can train a teacher all you want. But see, if you can it's powerful. If you can train a person, you know, how to teach somebody or build somebody up, you also teach them how to destroy someone as well. So, you know, I can't say all teachers, because I think some teachers would be passionate about people that they like, you know what I'm saying, people who like them or people they can relate to. And other teachers that just don't care. And you got other teachers who it's to a point where it's political. Like, you know, these people are elected to be superintendents and things like this, so the people actually put them there. So as teachers, is a political thing that, you know, you need to get with local businesses and local social organizations so we can have a political stronghold. If nowhere else in our schools, you know, we should have the power to, if you, like you said, if you don't want to be here, like, I don't want you here. Like, you know, we run this school, you know, the people, if you, wherever you most effective teaching at, that's where you need to be. Because if you're not in that situation, you can be destructive.
Right.
But none of that's gonna happen without uniting. We gotta, you know, everybody gotta. We on this show is a lot of people who feel like us, but how many of us actually, you know, deal with each other every day where we feeling like, you know, you two guys know each other. I'm saying as a whole, that
right,
you know, it matters. We actually going out there, parents. I don't care if you're not a parent. If this is something that you believe in, you should stand up for it. And and everywhere in your life, you know, on a radio show, at school, whatever you do, because these things are not only going. If you don't have a son or a daughter, you have a niece and nephew, a cousin, someone who benefits. And if you care about these people, you should care about the education system as a whole, socially, economically, and politically. That's the only way you're going to have the money to do, you know, the things, the nonprofit organization, and the power to effectively change the educational system, because that's a political system.
Right.
And that's the truth right there. You made some serious key points. And like they say, it takes a village to raise a child. So like I said, man, I'm calling out to all the communities, calling out to all the people that, quote-unquote, say they're activists, calling out to all the people, man. We gotta take responsibility for our actions. You know what I'm saying? Seriously, because the thing is, if we don't take responsibility for our actions and take responsibility for our own children, then we lost. Point blank. You know, a teacher can only do but so much, and we can hope and pray that hopefully we can change one or two children's lives. But we need the families. We need the community. We need the people to come together and do something. because when we don't, we're going to have more and more of our children locked up, more and more of our children laying on the ground dead. I mean, come on, man.
And we don't have to agree. We don't have to agree. Like, you don't have to get with people just because you agree with them. You get with them because you have the same kind of spirit. Like, it's a spirit of empowering. If you care, you may have a different approach. You may have a different approach. But, you know, let's find out, because no one is totally right. Let's find out how to get together and make these things effective within our community. Even if you rooting for just your son got to go to that school. So it'll benefit you to make sure the school and everyone succeeds.
True. That's the truth. You speaking nothing but the truth, player. And you know, the thing about it is we definitely got to come together. And once again, Josh, what do you feel? What do you feel is the solution, Josh? And what do you see the future of Roots, of what you're doing? You know what I'm saying? What do you see is the future of your organization and, you know, everything that you're doing? And what do you see as a solution for this situation?
Well, again, much in the same breath of what it is that the brother is saying, it starts with, again, working with like-minded individuals or people that, you know, share that same spirit of really wanting to be a part of the solution. You know, I don't speak to you today as a person that professes to have all of the answers. So, again, as far as with Roots, I'm looking to get with other people that are like-minded, that are already working in the community. And the thing that I would point to is group mentoring. That's a concept that I was a beneficiary of, because in my high school, when my mentor worked with me, we did group mentoring. And that was something that really helped me out a lot. And so because of that and seeing the progress that I was able to make, and when we worked in the Somerset County public schools, we were given 20 at-risk seniors, okay? So we used the group mentoring style with 20 at-risk seniors, and we were able to help 19 out of the 20 seniors to be able to graduate that year by doing group mentoring, which is, again, a combination of mentoring and tutoring. So, I mean, that was just something that was great to be able to see, that we can have that type of success. But the thought, much to what you're saying, Lush, is that if you can at least help one, you know, child, I know that sounds like a cliche, but it's the truth. I mean, if you're able to help one person, then at least you know that you were able to make a difference. And so, I mean, that would be part of the solution, because, you know, that's just a piece of the pie. Again, being able to connect with these young people, and I see mentoring as a vehicle to be able to do that. And then as far as the teachers, again, the students need to know that the teachers care about them and their future. And more than anything, with both of those, you just got to be consistent. If you're not being consistent with what it is that you're doing, then you may actually cause more damage than good. So we really need, and much to what it is that you're doing right now, Lush, we just need to continue to build a coalition of people that are, you know, about working for that change and being a part of the solution. So, I mean, that's what it is that I would say.
That's what it is, and I'm so proud and happy, you know. I'm sitting here doing a show and running outside at the same time, you know, multitasking. But I'm just so, like, proud of all the things that you're doing, and we need more, you know, young men like you definitely doing some positive things in the community and for the youth. And the same thing to you, Big Bro King, you know what I'm saying? And maybe you guys can get together on some projects. Josh,
right,
can you send us an email or something where we can put this?
Right, I'm going to give you I'll give you some information so you can get in contact with me, because we're working on a new initiative here in Maryland. So I'll give you some information so that people can get in contact, and maybe you can put it up on your website.
Okay. So is there an email for right now, or should we just wait until you get the rest of the information and then I can put it up, or what?
Yeah, that would be the best thing at this point. I'll get that information over to you as soon as possible. We're working on a new initiative right now, and we're really excited about that. And as soon as I get that information, I'll get that over to you. We hope that we can have that up and running within the next month. We're working with the school system right now on that. So that'll be the best way at this point.
That's what it is. I know Gio wanted to say something real quick. Gio, you have some quick last words to say, Gio?
No, I just wanted, I put my information in the chat room. I give out my number. People are like, wow, you give out your number. But you know what? I'm an entertainment agent. I'm a spoken word artist. I work with thousands of people across the United States. Have no problem giving out my number. If you're a stalker and you call my number, I'm going to hang up on you. That's just how it works. You know, so I don't have any problem with giving out my number. But Josh, King, Lush, if you guys want to call me, call me. I left the information in the chat room how to go see what we're doing, what we've been doing for years, you know, and just kind of see what we're about. Like I said, I'm working with some people right now. We have community center ideas to put all across the United States, because when those children leave from the school,
right,
especially the ones who don't have a good home life, who do have to go back home to things like my children used to have to see people being killed around them and things like that, then they'll have somewhere else to go. But in order to make that happen, we have to work together. We have to get together and say, okay, you know what? I have a grant writer. I know somebody who can help you get through the red tape. Or I have an idea, or I have someone in that area of the country that you're working with. We have to start hyperlinking each other together in order to make this work and quit making it about ourselves. It's not about us. It's about the next generation. And if we don't do that, then all will be lost.
Go ahead, girl. You go, girl. And that's a real talk right there, girl, for real.
So the information is there. My phone number is there. If you all want to call, do so. I'm a single mother of five. I homeschool one child, and I work from home, so I'm here at any point in time.
I need an entertainment agent, too, so I might just have to hit you up. Hey, you know what I wanted to say, though? I wanted to say, a good movie, I sure to, like you said, Training. Lean on Me, man. That's a good movie.
Oh my God,
man.
That's how I feel every day.
I love that movie, man. We all need a Mr. Clark at these schools or something.
Yeah.
Somebody's gonna buck the system to save the kids. That's some scary stuff though. People ain't, you know. But mother,
we've been put in a box. We've been put in a box, and we've been told not to do that. If you do that, then this is what's going to happen to you. And people, you know, have to step outside of that box and say, you know what, I'm going to be brave enough to reach out and buck the system and do what I can do regardless of what you threaten to do to me.
And you guys, teachers, I know you guys in ran across like Mr. and Mrs. Clark, because, like, my wife would go to the school, and this, if it ain't right, like, you're going to get cussed out. It's going to be like, man, I'd be like, babe, you going too hard. But, you know, mamas don't be playing. They trying to get their kids educated. They already know what it is out here.
Right. Right. Hey, Lush, do we have time for me to say one more thing?
You got time. Go ahead and say what you got to do, man. Josh, it's all about you. Spotlight on you, player.
All right. All right, we were talking about the No Child Left Behind, and, I mean, that whole program is, I mean, very interesting nonetheless, just at least with that. But No Child Left
Behind. Josh, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Because it almost sounded like you didn't have a white dude behind you with the glass.
Like the phone was about to start going, dee, dee, dee. If you need help, please hang up and dial your operator.
With the No Child Left Behind, with that program, if we don't take an active part in it, and these students are not getting what it is that they're supposed to get before they leave the school, then we really just set them up for failure to go into the bigger system, the justice system. Because if they're having issues in school, and if we are, again, not addressing those issues, then who's going to be the person to address it then? And we don't want that for our youth. So we really, really, we got to be involved. We got to be involved. And is Gio, like Gio was saying, we need to network, and it's going to take those grassroots efforts. When we do those grassroots efforts, I think that's how we start to see that change, not just happening in one place, but across the board. So I just want to, you know, put that out there as well.
That's and that real talk, like I said, just like Gio said and just like Josh said, when these kids leave the schools, we only have them from, from 8 o'clock to like 3 o'clock. We got them for only a couple of hours. They got to go back home to the same nonsense that they dealing with. You understand what I'm saying? Where is the middle intervening? Where is that middle point? We need to start creating these middle points, these rec centers, these communities where even if the kid can't go home because the mother is beating on them or the father's beating on them, they got a safe home to go to, and they can still have somebody help them with their learning. We need to provide these for these kids, man. We need this, okay? We need this. We need that middle ground. And people, if we do not work together, if we ain't working together, we ain't working at all. We need to help our children. These are our futures. These are the people we have to look up to when we get old. If we don't prepare them now, we're lost ourselves.
Ooh.
Point blank.
Right.
You know? And like, I check out www.thenewwordorder.ning.com. Gio, so check that out, and you can hit up Gio at 816-332-9440. Hit her up, support her in the movement. I will have all the information on Josh posted up on Street Queens The Movement, streetqueensthemovement.ning.com. You know, we Street Queens each and every Thursday. We're always supporting positive people doing positive things in the community and highlighting people, definitely. So, you know, Street Queens The Movement. You know, we did the co-drive. It was very successful. You'll check it out on LushRadioOnline.com. Joshua's information will be up there. If you want to support him or you want to donate to the cause or if you want to volunteer your time to be a mentor, you know, or be a guest speaker, come through, you know. It's definitely, we're supporting positive people doing positive things. Like I said, if we are not working together, and we're not working at all. Now, if you can tell the youth anything, you know, if they wanted to become a teacher or, you know, and get into the field that you're doing, what kind of words would you tell them? What kind of knowledge would you give them?
Say that one more time.
If you can tell youth anything, you know, in regards to getting the type of, you know, career field you're in, what would it be?
You gotta look at the big picture. You gotta look at the big picture. What is it that you're trying to go to? What is it that you're looking to become? If you want to be a teacher, then on a day-to-day basis, you gotta think about, are my actions putting me closer to that goal, or are they pushing me further away from that goal? You gotta use that as a filter. And, you know, when nobody else is really saying that, you gotta hold yourself accountable for that if you really want to do it.
That's the truth. That's what it is. That's what it is. And the thing about it is our children have a chance. It's not too late. We can't give up on kids. Our children have a chance to have a brighter future. If we just try, you don't have to, like he said, like King said, we don't have to like each other, but we have to come together for one single cause, and that's saving our
children. I ain't say that. I ain't saying we don't got to like each other. You know what I mean?
Well, what I'm trying to say is basically,
we can disagree.
We can agree to disagree. I mean, even if you don't agree on certain points, hey, there's people that don't like each other that's worked together on the same cause.
Yeah, I like the people that I'm, you know, if you, we may not agree, but, you know, you got a different opinion, but I like you. I like your spirit. You got to say, you know, I don't want to not like you. I don't like you. We shouldn't, it should, like, that's for kids. Like, keep that in high school. Grown people, like, why don't like you? Why don't like somebody who's trying to do something, you know, to help people? That don't, you know, you don't like me. I love all y'all.
Why? I love you too, King, man. You my big brother, definitely do. And see, the thing is, to have people that have been there, like Gio, that's, you know, been a rest, and King that's been through it, been locked up, and got out and doing positive things. These kids need to see the reality, because a lot of them think that, oh, man, I got to rock this big jewelry and all this stuff. I got to. They ain't never been on the block. They never seen it. None of them is spoiled, you know. But they just feel and they glorify and think that, you know, people like Rayful Evans and cats like the cat from American Gangster, George Lucas, all these people, you know, they idolize these people, but at the end of the day, what do they got to show for, man? Nothing.
Right. Exactly. And my thing is, they glorifying these people, they glorifying the gangs. They ain't never a day in their life had to live the life of a banger. And you know what? They don't realize that a lot of these gangs that are out here today are only gangs because of the ignorance of some of the younger kids that came up. The older people, when they started these so-called gangs, they were organizations. They were out there to try to help the community. And then they got knuckleheads out there that wanted to take over and turn it into a whole nother direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't understand.
They didn't just take over. They didn't just take over. The government was locking people up. You know, the government locked a lot of leaders up. There was actually, you know, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, that's a whole nother show.
But, you know, they're glorifying. The reason I said that is because they're glorifying that, and they don't really even realize where it started. They don't realize what happened to it. They don't realize what that life is like. Like you said, they've never been on the block. They didn't have to be 11 years old hustling to try to feed their little brothers. They didn't have a mama that was a junkie. Even if they do have a mama that's a junkie, they think that's glorifying. They glorify that too, because you know what? The dope dealer making money.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't never had to live that.
Yeah, and Tripp was saying inside the chat room, he was saying that, you know, he admires everything that we're saying. He said, but he's out in Indiana. He said that in his community, he wants to have a community center, but he said that point blank is that they don't have a lot of funds. Period. And he said that they have a building, but they just don't have the resources, and the resources are low. And that's the problem we're finding in majority of the states. You know, yet at the same time, all the time, you know. And this is another thing that I got pissed off at. I love Obama and everything, but after that Obama situation and people voted, we had our local government, that really play a part in our everyday lives, and people didn't go out and vote, okay? And we asked and questioned why these people in office, but we didn't go out and vote. We had less people vote than for the Obama situation. You understand what I'm saying? And we need to understand he's only one person. Our local mayors, our local governors, all that is important and key. You understand what I'm saying? And we need to really start lobbying. Go over there to some of our governors. Go to some of our senators. You know, go to our mayors and say, look, they get funding. Okay? My mayor in the county I'm at, I talked to him personally. He goes, his daughter gets dropped off at my daughter's school, a regular public school. He told me their funding is coming up. So I can write a proposal. We got to go to our mayors of our counties and talk to them and write up proposals. This is what I'm trying to do. I need your help.
Right. You know, that's so funny you said the mayor of your community. My mother is actually having the mayor of our community go to her house and have dinner on the 21st of this month. And she looked at me and she said, please, don't come over there. You are going to embarrass me. I'm sorry. I respect you, but I may have to just embarrass you, because just 2 months ago when the funding became available, instead of funding the teen center that we have here in our community after losing 17 teenagers last year to drunk driving incidents because they didn't have anything else to do, he gave the money to the animal shelter instead of the teen center. I'm sorry. I got to go talk to their brother and find out what his thinking was.
Wow.
You know what his thinking was in politics, but you got to realize that's politics, right? Like, whoever in office, like, they have an agenda. If their agenda not your agenda, you have, you know, that's why we have to get together to have that kind of power within our community. Because his his agenda may be the animal activist center or whatever, you know. So we need to support and actually we need to stand up and actually get in our local communities. If this mayor not doing what we want to do, we need to actually, you know, get together so we can put a man that is going to, you know, represent us. He represents somebody. He just wasn't representing you on that particular thing.
Right.
That's the truth. And the leave off on that is basically to, you know, let you people know that, hey, hope is still there. We can't give up on our children. And there's a couple of quotes, right? And this is some for some of these teachers and some of these parents. Success comes as a result of compromise and sacrifice, okay? And, you know, you may not be totally perfect, but some parts of you are excellent. So focus on some of those good parts, man, and try to help these kids. None of us are perfect in this world, but we can try. And stop sitting there and enabling yourself and saying or enabling these children and saying, well, it's just because John has ADD and John is this. You gotta push John. You gotta push him to that level and let him know that, hey, this is not acceptable. You are better than what your environment tells you you gotta be. Your people tell you, hey, you're not gonna live to see 21. That's not true. They say because you're in a special class that you're not going to be able to get a good job. That's not true. We need to start telling our kids every single day you could be whatever you want to be.
I actually had my children from the age of and from the grade of like first grade when they could write it. I had them write this down every day for about a year. My success is limited only by my lack of effort.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I had them write that every day.
Let me write that down. Say that again, girl. That's one of my quotes. Get it, girl.
My success.
Is limited.
Only by my lack of effort.
There, go ahead, baby. Oh, poopy. That's what it is. And we being a mother and taking care of them kids, because you know what? Not a lot of mothers take care of their children. A lot of people are cowards, and they get their kids up because they can't take care of them. You know, I'm glad that you're able to stand up and take care of your children. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it is, and you're being an activist and supporting these children and, you know, educating yourself. Being a strong woman that you are, man. Girl, keep your head up because we support you 100% here on Lush Radio Online. It's not a game. You know I always support you in all that you do, man. Definitely, man. Because you basically being some doing some positive things for these youth out here. Let them know where you do and how you made it. And shout out to you, Josh, man. You definitely are a powerful person. And I wish you much success in your teaching career and with the Roots Organizing, all that you do. Seriously.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
That's what's up, man. You got any last words, Josh, to say to the people, you know, before you leave us?
You know, I just say something that I heard a little while back that really had a big impact on me. There's a saying that says that there's two most important moments in any person's life. The moment that you're born, and the moment that you find out why.
Wow. That was kind of deep right there. That's kind of deep.
Wow,
right there.
That's, you know, that's crazy that you said that, Josh, because if I ever send you an email, you'll see at the bottom of my email it says, unless you leave a legacy, the two most important events in your life will be being born and dying.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
We definitely gonna have to connect.
And I got some words too. Unless you.
King is out to pay.
Go ahead, King.
No, I'm just talking.
That's what it is, man. man, people that's listening, man, definitely support these brothers and sisters definitely doing their thing out here in the game. Lush Radio Online, we support independent entrepreneurs, business owners, artists. And people, you know, your girl Lushy Lush, the people's voice, I don't do it for me, I do it for the people. I come here to educate the people through music, through spoken word, you know, just you know what I'm saying, just through verbal interaction. We are here to support the people. We are here to give you good music. We are here just to teach our youth and let them know that don't matter what you go through, you can still make it. I am a testimony for it, and I love God, and I love you. And if anybody tell you they love you today, I do. We went from corners to the blocks to www.dots. It's a digital hustle, baby. Get your grind on. There's no excuse. Okay, if you're going to go hard this year, go totally hard. Don't say, hey, I'm a half-step it. Go full-blown, man. Ain't no hesitation, man. Only your destiny is waiting. Holla at you, Lushy Lush, man. We on all day, every day, man, and you just officially got stamped. Josh, we love you, you know what I'm saying, and I support you in all that you do, man. And I'm going to call at you on the flip.
Love y'all, too.
That's what's up. And King, you know how I rock with you, man. You know you my big brother. You know how we do, man. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fam.
That's what it is. And shout out to you, Gio, man. You holding it down, girl. You a strong sister, girl. That's what it is. That's what it is. Okay. Y'all check it out. Hit me up at www.lushradioonline.com. March the 12th. You know, you got your man over there, you got your man Common down at Sonar in Baltimore. It's going down. And that's in, presented by Busy B. You got Rakim at Sonar in Baltimore on the March 27th. This March the 14th, I'll be down in North Carolina for Young Soldiers shooting of the GLOW video. Also the Women in Hip Hop Empowerment movement is going down in NC on the 14th. Also, Ron Brown's I'm Jumping Out the Window with This One is going down in New Jersey. Check out the flyer on www.lushradioonline.com. Check out www.youngsoldier.com, streetqueensthemovement.ning.com, consultingguide.net, streetbuzz, nationalstreetbuzz.com, man. We going down, Game Face, all day. Check out strictlybunt1.com. They got scholarship for the youth. All right, let's get it in, your girl Lushy Lush. And we out. This or that. This or that you could get with this.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. Jeopardy. So now I dwell just to lay your plane on. Hold your cup cause I got the container. Pass the plate up, cross the fader. Black sheep you play like the Sony innovator. Never the traitor, party of flavor. And you can get a scoop later. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that.